and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. When we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I love hearing more and more of Tom Lehrer. Today will be bifurcated, where during the first hour, I will present some of the latest developments, especially related to the coronavirus political pandemic. And then during the second hour, I will take calls. So I'll be sure to announce the number for those who may not have it at hand. In the meanwhile, Trump created massive controversy among those who are ignorant of the medicinal properties of hydroxychloroquine by declaring that he is taking it. According to CNN Politics, though health experts question its efficacy, well, that depends whether they're legitimate and bona fide or not. No legitimate medical authority is going to question the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine. President Donald Trump claimed Monday he's taking daily doses of hydroxychloroquine, a drug he's long touted as a potential coronavirus cure, even as medical experts. That should say some medical experts. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which is another front for Big Pharma, question its efficacy and warned of potentially harmful side effects, which are virtually unknown. We early on had learned that hydroxychloroquine had been in use for as much as 65 years as an anti-malarial drug. And we had a French physician who had a whole host of patients in who were so ill that they had to be hospitalized. As I recall, 80 patients gave them hydroxychloroquine, 79 of them survived. We had another physician here in the U.S. with 350 patients, gave them hydroxychloroquine. None of them had to be hospitalized. None of them died. We had another doctor right in New York City who actually wrote out his prescription for his 500 patients, all of whom survived. But CNN is going to play it up, give it a negative spin, needless to say. The admission was a dramatic development in Trump's attempts to promote hydroxychloroquine, or HCQ, as a treatment for coronavirus, which began earlier in the outbreak and has been met with resistance from medical professionals. Again, they lack the qualifier. Some, a few, who are being paid off by Big Pharma. They aren't legitimate. It is embarrassing to me. My wife is addicted to MSNBC, and Chuck Todd had some guy who is supposed to be a medical expert talking about the hazards of hydroxychloroquine. Well, it's complete bullshit. It is true that, as CNN continues, because the drug is prescribed to treat malaria and other conditions, Trump has cast it as safe and suggested coronavirus patients have little to lose by trying it. But at least one study, this was a completely fake study, which has been denounced by the head of the Veterans Administration, of patients who were near death, who weren't given proper dosage. It was conducted by a couple of ophthalmologists who aren't experts in virology and would not have known what they were doing, but rather performing obediently for the deep state. The drug does not work against COVID-19 and could cause heart problems. Very embarrassing. As I have explained before, Fauci knew about HCQ in 2005. Nobody needed to die. Brian Fisher wrote a brilliant article about this on One News Now. Dr. Anthony Fauci, to whom I refer as Tony the Rat, whose expert advice to President Trump has resulted in the complete shutdown of the greatest economic engine in world history, has known since 2005 that chloroquine is an effective inhibitor of coronaviruses. How did he know? Because of research done by the National Institutes of Health, of which he is the director. In connection with a SARS outbreak caused by a coronavirus dubbed SARS-CoV, the NIH researched chloroquine and concluded it was effective at stopping the SARS coronavirus in its tracks. The COVID-19 bug is likewise a coronavirus, labeled SARS-CoV-2, but not exactly the same virus as SARS-CoV-1. It is genetically related and shares 79% of its genome, as the name SARS-CoV-2 implies. They both use the same host cell receptor, which is what viruses use to gain entry to the cell and infect the victim. The Virology Journal, the official publication of Dr. Fauci's National Institutes of Health, published what is now a blockbuster article on August 22, 2005, under the heading, get ready for this, chloroquine is a potent inhibitor of SARS coronavirus infection and spread. Right, the researchers? We report that chloroquine has strong antiviral effects on SARS-CoV infection of primate cells. The inhibitory effects are observed when the cells are treated with a drug either before or after exposure to the virus, suggesting both prophylactic and therapeutic advantage. This means, of course, that Dr. Fauci has known for at least 15 years that chloroquine and its even milder derivative, hydroxychloroquine, HCQ, will not only treat a current case of coronavirus therapeutic, but prevent future cases prophylactic. So HCQ functions as both a cure and a vaccine, without a needle, notice, without a needle. In other words, it's a wonder drug for coronavirus, said Dr. Fauci's NIH in 2005. Concentration of completely abolish SARS-CoV infection. Fauci's researchers add chloroquine can effectively reduce the establishment of infection and spread of SARS-CoV, as it has been shown to do in the case of our current coronavirus. Meanwhile, it was even featured on a television series. This is, listen to this, fascinating stuff.
Let me think about where to start.
Well, he saw something. What is it?
I saw a virus. I think some kind of disease.
Virus? Like what? Like SARS?
I don't know. All I know is that it's highly infectious. It may be fatal. Right now, we could all be infected.
Maybe we should wear masks.
You have no reason to be scared. Let me ask you something, Amy. Animals. You've been around any animals in the backyard, even, let's say, a skunk, a raccoon? We know it acts like a virus. It causes high fever and respiratory distress. tracking and treating a mysterious outbreak like this would take the CDC months.
One who hasn't been exposed already needs to wear a mask.
China? Isn't that where flu viruses come from?
Yeah. A lot of viruses come from there.
International flight to China? That's no coincidence.
Whatever it is that originated in China. Whatever it is that originated in China.
How long is it going to take?
Well, it took 34 days to isolate the coronavirus that caused SARS, and that's fast.
And the enzyme has virus things when they reduce
the chloroquine. So the chloroquine. This is it. This is your virus.
I'm sorry, but there's no cure for that. Chloroquine, that's an anti-malarial drug.
No. Listen, it suppresses the enzymes.
Drug called chloroquine.
Chloroquine, that's an anti-malarial drug.
No. Listen, it suppresses the enzymes.
It is known as a malaria drug, and it's been around for a long time, and it's very powerful.
What happened? We started everyone on chloroquine, stopped the thing dead in its tracks. Now, the CDC would have figured it out eventually, but not in time.
Well, this was from a television show broadcast in 2003, where the episode entitled Plague was authored by Stephen King. The Dead Zone is the name of the program. So what do we get? Well, this kind of coverage from the Associated Press. Trump flouts the experts, even in his own government. Trump appears to be disregarding what has long been considered the special responsibility of the American president to set an example for the nation. Well, he has, and in my opinion, it's a splendid example. Meanwhile, Fox News' Cavuto went absolutely ballistic, warns audience after Trump reveals he's taking hydroxychloroquine. Quote, this is Neil Cavuto. I used to think he had half a brain, but he's totally corrupt. If you are in a risky population here and you are taking this as a preventative treatment, it will kill you. I cannot stress this enough. This will kill you. Talk about an unsubstantiated claim. Neil Cavuto has just shot his wad, man. This guy's a complete disinformation agent. I am embarrassed. Meanwhile, Piers Morgan knew President Trump's revelation he's taking hydroxychloroquine against his own public health agency's advice is an act of dangerously reckless irresponsibility that will cost lives. On the contrary, it's the suppression of hydroxychloroquine that's going to cost lives, not Trump's advocacy. It ought to be being used everywhere. It's being used widely around the world, but Big Pharma is suppressing it. Why? Well, probably because it's cheap and easily expensive, and they don't have a patent on it, so they can't make a big fat profit. That's how disgusting it is. And, of course, the CDC, the NIH, and the WHO were all under the control of Bill Gates. He has invested vast sums of money to bring them under his thumb. If you want confirmation of what's going on here, here's a study from the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. Government hoards medication as additional COVID patients die. The venerable Medical Association, APS, claims that hydroxychloroquine is being hoarded by governments and not being made available for early treatment of COVID-19. HCQ is more widely used in other countries, but is fiercely resisted by big pharma technocrats who are developing expensive vaccines. Key, expensive. Governments are hoarding more than 100 million doses of HCQ while victims of COVID-19 are dying from lack of early treatment, which an increasing number of physicians and scientists believe is crucial for saving lives. In many places, particularly nursing homes, victims of COVID-19 are unable to access HCQ, states the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Pharmaceutical companies donated tens of millions of doses of HCQ to federal and state governments. At least 14.4 million doses have been distributed to 14 city governments. Yet virtually none of this has gone for early treatment of COVID-19 victims. Many governors and other officials have impeded the availability of HCQ to millions of Americans, including frontline medical personnel in hospitals, COVID-19 patient caregivers, and others exposed to this virus. They therefore ought to be legally responsible for those deaths to which they have so blatantly contributed. This is disgusting beyond belief. Medication is not doing anyone any good sitting in a government warehouse, observes APS Executive Director Jane Orient, MD. This hoarding by government means that most of that medication will probably expire without ever being used. Many foreign governments support using HCQ early to treat COVID-19, but many tens of thousands of Americans become severely ill, need intensive care, or put on ventilators, even die without a chance to try HCQ treatment. It's a lifesaver. Trump is doing exactly the right thing. He's setting an example of what the American people ought to do. The interference by the governor of Nevada with early HCQ treatment has been so egregious, he is being sued by a group of physicians. In most states, officials have issued orders prohibiting or severely restricting access to HCQ by COVID-19 victims. New York refuses to make its enormous stockpile of HCQ available outside a clinical trial. Florida, which has done remarkably well in this crisis, has welcomed, dispensed, and promoted HCQ for its residents. So those who are using it are thriving and their patients are surviving, while those who are denied are dying. HCQ is also being used successfully as a prophylaxis in other countries, including India, to protect medical workers, first responders, household contacts, and other persons at risk of exposure. The COVID-19 mortality rate in India is only 1 per million, compared with more than 200 per million in the U.S. So we have more than 200 times the number of patients who are suffering than India because they use HCQ and we do not. In the U.S., officials in states that have received donations of many doses falsely claim rationing is needed to prevent people from hoarding and to assure that lupus and rheumatoid arthritis patients can get their prescriptions filled. It is government that should stop hoarding, however, declares the American Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. They are among the few who are doing the right thing and staying up for the truth, unlike these stooge doctors that are appearing all over the place. Even Martha McCollum, I was stunned last night on her Fox News show, had a fake physician who's attacking HCQ wrongly, falsely, deliberately, denying the American people a life-saving medication that's cheap and readily available, but for hoarding by governors who turn out to be, of course, Democrats. Democrats. This is just disgusting beyond belief. Meanwhile, Rand Paul calls out Dr. Fauci, shares a chart showing COVID-19 mortality rates similar to the flu for people under 60. In fact, we have all kinds of charts that show that, in fact, the mortality rate for the seasonal flu is about three times that for COVID, which came early from worldometers. I have this included as one of the graphs I'll display during my presentation when my new show, The Conspiracy Guy, is broadcast for the first time on Sunday at 10 p.m. Central Time. I'm going to have a very extensive discussion of the COVID crisis and explain how to apply the principles of scientific reasoning to sort things out. This show typically will be a two-hour show where during the first hour, I will present evidence of conspiracy or of falsifying the official narrative. In the case of JFK, 9/11, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, even the moon landing. And then the second hour, those who are viewing and participating can raise questions and challenges and try to falsify my falsifiers if they so like. It should be a very stimulating experience. 10 to midnight Central, 11 to 1 a.m. Eastern, 8 to 10 Pacific at JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. Meanwhile, Senator Rand Paul shared a link to a chart showing the coronavirus death rate is similar to seasonal flu for people under 60, complete with a caption, paging Dr. Fauci. The chart comes from an article posted in the Conservative Review written by senior editor Daniel Horowitz, in which numbers are presented from a Dutch economics magazine. Well, I have all kinds of charts and data to share on my review of this whole mess on Sunday evening. As Horowitz points out, Americans are being told to shut down their lives under the notion their child might get the virus. He also knows the death rate doesn't expand greatly until a certain age. How many Americans even know that children have a near zero threat and anyone under 60 has next to no risk of dying from the virus, he writes. Even those between 60 and 69 are at much lower risk than anything the government has suggested and that the level of panic indicates. Well, listen to this. Here's a wonderful parody, except it's very close to how most Americans are reacting. Listen to this.
People are freaking out right now. Like, they're tired of having their constitutional rights taken away with the mandatory stay-at-home orders. Cities are suing the California governor so their people can go back onto their beaches again. Idiots. Like, I'll stay at home for the rest of my life if they tell me to. Who knows how to make the best choices for my health and my life? Definitely not me. So I'm more than happy to put my blind trust in power-hungry politicians and definitely uncorrupt groups like the World Health Organization. I think they know what's best for me because, like, they know me better than I know me. The last thing you want is people to have the freedom to make their own choices and then experience the consequences of their choices. I think free will is a little bit of a sin. I don't think we should have it in the first place. But you wouldn't give a razor blade to a three-year-old because it wouldn't be in their best interest. So you shouldn't give freedom to people either. All these Americans that want their freedoms are just ungrateful. I say if you don't like how things are going and you just want your freedom, then why don't you move to a free country like North Korea or Venezuela, you freaking heathens? Oh, I 100% buy into the narrative they tell me. I think it's ludicrous some people don't 100% believe the narrative like it's the absolute truth. Why wouldn't you? Think about it. If you were in charge of a giant, powerful business that pretends it's a charity like the World Health Organization, you wouldn't spend your time carefully crafting your message to manufacture consent with the public to get them to go along with your mysterious agenda that's in your best interest that you tell them is in their best interest. You'd probably just get up to the podium and have a spontaneous conversation and see what comes out of your mouth while you're riffing. I think that's what they're doing.
Just understand, too many Americans are believing uncritically everything they're being told. They're not considering who would have the motive, the means, and the opportunity to perpetrate a massive medical scam on the American people, where all signs point to Bill Gates. He is the monster behind the scene. If we liken what's going on here to the mafia, a medical mafia, in lieu of Don Corleone, we have Don Gates. And in lieu of, say, Santino, we have Tony the Rat Fauci. He's a front man. It's disgusting what's going on here. Meanwhile, after a backlash from vaccine skeptics, Trump appears to be distancing himself from vaccines as a cure-all for dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. Now, this is coming from Natural News, authored by Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. After being strongly condemned by the pro-liberty, pro-health freedom movement, President Trump appears to be backing away from positioning vaccines as a cure-all for the coronavirus. In comments made earlier today, Trump said, vaccine or no vaccine, we're back. It's indispensable to get the country back economically because there are going to be more deaths that occur from unemployment, from despair, from being unable to put food on your table, keep a roof over your head, from suicide alone, then will die from the coronavirus. And that's only one of the many anomalies, the many tragedies that attend having this great economy shut down. It includes increases in domestic violence, increases in child abuse, of course, devastating for children who are left behind because school's no longer going on, much less all the lost opportunity for sports figures. These will never come back. Never come back. And yet the Democrats seem intent on provoking this lockdown as long as they possibly can. This is the first time, Mike Adams continues, Trump has publicly acknowledged the likelihood that a vaccine may never be developed that can safely and effectively prevent the spread of the coronavirus. It doesn't mean Trump is opposed to vaccines. It's just that he's no longer praising vaccines as a miracle cure that will end the pandemic with certainty, a fraudulent, intellectually dishonest position held by nearly every journalist and scientist, MBIN, fake physician, being cited by the mainstream media today. It's outrageous. I mean, we've never found a vaccine for any of these respiratory diseases. In fact, it's turning out that those who get the flu are more often than not those who are injected with a flu vaccine. These vaccines are very, very dangerous. The president also explained that many infectious diseases never end up getting resolved with a vaccine. Absolutely true. And we're starting the process. In many cases, they don't have vaccines, and a virus or a flu comes and you fight through it. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we need social interaction. We maintain the robustness of our immune system by interacting with other people, not by social distances, and most certainly not by wearing a mask. The mask recirculates carbon dioxide, which is air we breathe in that's been depleted of its oxygen, which has been absorbed by the red blood cells and distributed to our brain and other bodily functions. When we recycle, we are depriving those cells of the oxygen they need, and in the process, killing brain cells. My estimate is so many Americans are using these masks in the false belief that they're helpful, even though on my blog, you can find Dr. Blaylock with a brilliant article detailing in very specific terms the harms it induces upon you. We're going to lose, I think, an average of 5 IQ points across the nation. This is the first indication that Trump isn't betting everything on the corrupt criminal vaccine industry that's harmed millions of children and adults around the world with faulty, risky products that contain dangerous or unethical ingredients like thimerosal, squalene, or aborted human fetal cell tissues. Yes, those are all in these vaccines. So is pig urine. There's something you might like to hop up on, pig urine. In fact, it turned out that in India, that physicians there became concerned when nearly 500,000 Indian children were induced to have to paralysis after using a Gates anti-polio vaccine. They had the content studied, and it included, among other ingredients, sterility and anti-fertility ingredients. A man's on a bench. He wants to cut down the world's population, and he's out to do it. He is a very sick person. Bear in mind, Bill Gates is not a doctor. Bill Gates is not a scientist. Bill Gates is not a virologist. Bill Gates is not an epidemiologist. Bill Gates is a crackpot who made a lot of money on Windows and succeeded actually by having a faulty operating system that was highly vulnerable, so he could sell patches again and again. He was a master in dealing with viruses in software, but that has nothing to do with viruses in relation to human beings. He's a total and complete fraud who's been for years now, decades actually, offering symposia that the greatest help to threat to human existence is not nuclear warfare, about which virtually everyone would agree, but a pandemic. And of course, he was planting the seeds because this pandemic appears to have been some 20 years in the making. Until now, Trump seemed more like a vaccine cheerleader, writes Mike Adams, than an informed political leader. Perhaps Trump has come to realize he will lose his voter base if he tries to push an unsafe, risky vaccine on the American public. Such a move looks increasingly like the evil plot of Dr. Fauci and the CDC, not anything rooted in real science or public health. He's got it exactly right. His top advisor, Dr. Fauci, seems to think the American people should stay locked down until an experimental vaccine is commercially available and administered to everyone. Essentially, he asserts no one should be allowed to leave their home until they're injected with Big Pharma's experimental cocktail that may or may not end up being safe. Let me mention, by the way, turning human beings into guinea pigs for the sake of an untested vaccine on a mass experimental level was precluded by the Nuremberg Tribunal. That you cannot conduct medical experiments on individuals without their informed consent. I therefore expect there are going to be massive lawsuits involved here all across the board, not only of the Democratic governors, but of any politicians who try to promote vaccinating, especially mandatory vaccination of the American people. It's fascinating, as Mike Adams continued, it's a perfect storm for a big pharma medical police state where the American people are vaccinated at gunpoint while the government tracks the vaccine status of every individual. If Trump continues down this road, he's going to lose most of his political support as pro-liberty, pro-American individuals have no appetite for being lined up like cattle and injected at gunpoint with risky, unsafe vaccines that were fast-tracked through the system under Operation Warp Speed. Should Trump continue that effort, he will be pursuing his own Operation Warp Mine that will end in his defeat in November, likely followed by an armed uprising and civil war for the future of America. If Trump sends soldiers door to door, forcibly injecting people against their will, they'd better be prepared to start taking live fire. By God, that would happen if they came here. Meanwhile, insane Biden. Joe Biden, who we know is brain damaged and cognitively impaired, claims the Department of Justice exonerated Michael Flynn to distract from the coronavirus. This is incredibly stupid, but what else would we expect from Joe Biden? Joe Biden made the wild assertion Tuesday the Department of Justice only exonerated former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn to divert attention away from the ongoing Chinese coronavirus pandemic. A presumptive Democratic presidential candidate made the comments during an interview on Good Morning America on ABC, recorded from his home office, where he's been locked up for weeks. Actually, he'd be better off in a padded cell. Biden suggested the exoneration of Flynn, who was found to have been a victim of a setup by the FBI under the Obama administration, for which the evidence is voluminous and simply overwhelming, was an effort by President Donald Trump to divert attention away from the virus. It came back. It came just days after the former audio of a phone call between former President Barack Obama and members of his administration was obtained by Yahoo News, in which he can be heard lying about Flynn's charges. In the call, Obama claimed that Flynn was charged with perjury and that his exoneration was unprecedented. Flynn wasn't charged with perjury, and his case was only dropped because the evidence revealed he had been set up. Perjury, by the way, requires lying under oath within a judicial framework such as a court of law. This was all ginned up out of a conversation in his office, not a court of law, when he was not under oath. He cannot, therefore, have committed perjury. Barack Obama, who claims to have a legal background, would have to know better. So either Obama's been lying about his background, or he's lying about Flynn, which we know to be the case, but deliberately so. You see, just making a false statement, if you sincerely believe it, is not lying. You have to be making a false statement in the knowledge that it's true, and nevertheless assert it in a deliberate effort to mislead a target audience, as Obama has clearly been doing. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization inadvertently admits that vaccinations won't work against the coronavirus. This is authored by Ethan Huff, also published at Natural News, which is an excellent source of information about ongoing medical controversies. In trying to keep the pandemic going for as long as possible, it would seem, the World Health Organization is insistent that developing natural immunity to the Wuhan coronavirus may not be possible, and that society's only hope is a vaccine. But if natural immunity is out of the question, then why would a vaccine-induced immunity be any better? Very nice point. With roughly 310,000 confirmed deaths worldwide, the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic continues to dominate news headlines, especially now that the Trump administration is getting the ball rolling on developing and releasing a fast-track vaccine, which I dare say has been eclipsed by his taking hydroxychloroquine, which is now absorbed front and center and is, of course, overwhelmingly more desirable. But nobody seems to be addressing the fact that if our own natural immune systems cannot fight the thing, then there's no way a vaccine will do anything that needlessly cause adverse effects. In other words, you have to have the ability to develop the antibodies naturally in order for them to be artificially induced. If you don't have that ability, taking the vaccine won't work. In a recent announcement, the World Health Organization stated there's no solid proof to suggest people who test positive for the Wuhan coronavirus and recover develop natural immunity. They could still get reinfected again, the UN body insists, even as it continues to ignore the fact that a strain-specific vaccine would theoretically provide even less protection than natural immunity if this is the case. There is currently no evidence people who have recovered from COVID-19 and have antibodies are protected from a second infection, stated WHO. The reason WHO is making a point of emphasizing the questionable immunity that comes from having a Wuhan coronavirus infection is that the globalist entity does not want people refusing to follow safety guidelines like mask wearing and physical distancing, even if they've already had it. In other words, the World Health Organization is shoveling more bullshit. People who assume they're immune may ignore public health advice. Should a vaccine ever become available, the Secretary General of the UN wants it to be distributed free to everyone, meaning taxpayers will collectively foot the bill. But the whole thing is a complete and total sham. In fact, Donald Trump has very appropriately threatened to permanently cut off World Health Organization funding and withdraw U.S. membership. President Trump threatened to permanently cut off U.S. funding of the World Health Organization in a letter dated Monday that he shared on Twitter. Last month, Trump halted U.S. funding for the WHO as his administration conducted a review of the agency's response to the pandemic. Trump said if WHO does not commit to major substantive improvements within the next 30 days, I will make my temporary freeze of U.S. funding permanent and reconsider our membership in the organization. I think that's exactly right and the thing to do. The reason Bill Gates has got away with all this malfeasance, all this fraud and deception, is because he had carefully positioned players in all the key organizations that would normally be assumed to be responsible. Get this. Bill Gates has given over $4.3 billion to the World Health Organization. Bill Gates has given over $18 million to the National Institute of Health. Bill Gates has given $155 million to the CDC. Bill Gates even gave over $280 million to Imperial College London, where Neil Ferguson developed his computer model, which has proven to be hopelessly inept. Imperial College itself is an estimable institution. I served as a member of a dissertation defense committee at Imperial College years ago during one of my many visits to London. But Neil Ferguson is... has withdrawn his apocalyptic model. He scaled it back. His original estimate of 2.2 million American deaths and 500,000 Brit has now been scaled back to less than 20,000 Brits, which applied proportionally 2.2 million would mean less than 200,000 in the U.S. Interestingly, and in a rather intriguing fashion, Neil Ferguson has been sacked from his position for cavorting with his married lover. Apparently, they were not practicing social distancing. Meanwhile, the worst is yet to come. John W. Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, which is an outstanding organization standing up for the First Amendment, contact tracing, immunity cards, and mass testing are what we have in the future. Meanwhile, he begins by quoting Angus Johnson, a professor at City University of New York. The things we were worried would happen are happening. No one is safe. No one is immune. No one gets spared the anguish, fear, and heartache of living under the shadow of an authoritarian police state. That's the message being broadcast 24/7 with every new piece of government propaganda, every new law that criminalizes otherwise lawful activity, every new policeman on the beat, every new surveillance camera casting a watchful eye, every sensationalistic news story that titillates and distracts, every new prison or detention center built to house troublemakers and other undesirables, every new court ruling that gives government agents a green light to strip and steal and rape and ravage the citizenry, every school that opts to indoctrinate rather than educate, and every new justification for why Americans should comply with the government's attempts to trample the Constitution underfoot. Yes, COVID-19 has taken a significant toll on the nation emotionally, physically, and economically, but there are still greater dangers on the horizon. As long as we, the people, continue to allow the government to trample our rights in the so-called name of national security, things will get worse, not better. It's already worse. Now there's talk of mass testing for COVID-19 antibodies, screening checkpoints, contact tracing, immunity passports to allow those who have recovered from the virus to move around more freely, and snitch tip lines for reporting rule breakers to the authorities. Notice if WHO is correct in having had the virus does not mean you will not get it again. And even those who have recovered from the virus probably by that standard ought not to be allowed to move around more freely, meaning the whole situation is absurd beyond belief. If you can't read the writing on the wall, you need to pay better attention. These may seem like small necessary steps in the war against the COVID-19 virus, but they're only necessary to the police state in its efforts to further undermine the Constitution, extend its control over the populace, and feed its insatiable appetite for ever greater powers. Nothing is ever as simple as the government claims. Whatever dangerous practices you allow the government to carry out now, whether it's in the name of national security or protecting America's borders or making America healthy again, rest assured, these same practices can and will be used against you when the government decides to set its sights on you. The war on drugs turned out to be a war on the American people, waged with SWAT teams and militarized police. The war on terror turned out to be a war on the American people, waged with warrantless surveillance and indefinite detention. The war on immigration turned out to be a war on the American people, waged with roving government agents demanding papers, please. This war on COVID-19 will be yet another war on the American people, waged with all of the surveillance weaponry at the government's disposal, thermal imaging cameras, drones, contact tracing, biometric databases, etc. So you see, when you talk about empowering government agents to screen the populace in order to control and prevent spread of this virus, what you're really talking about is creating a society in which ID cards, roundups, checkpoints, and detention centers become routine weapons used by the government to control and suppress the populace, no matter the threat. A brilliant piece. Now, here's a wonderful piece, another parody, to illustrate how contradictory is all the advice we've been given. I take great delight in sharing this with you. Listen.
Yeah, I really don't understand why everybody isn't following the same rules right now. They're very clear. So let's take a minute and let's go over them again. First, you must not leave the house for any reason, unless, of course, you have a reason, and then you may leave the house. All stores are closed except those that are open. And all stores must close unless, of course, they need to stay open. This virus is deadly, but don't be afraid of it. It can only kill people who are vulnerable and also those who are not vulnerable. We should stay locked down until the virus stops infecting people. And it will only stop infecting people if enough of us get infected that we build immunity. So it is very important that we get infected and also do not get infected. You should not go to the doctor's office or the hospital unless you have to go there. Unless, of course, you are too sick to go there. This virus has no effect on children except for those children in which it affects. The virus remains active on different surfaces for 2 hours or 4 hours or 6 hours, but in most cases it's days and not hours, and it needs a damp environment or a cold environment that is warm and dry in the air, unless the air is plastic. Schools are closed, so you need to homeschool your children unless you can send them to school because you are not home. If you are at home, you can school your children using various portals and online classrooms unless you have poor internet, more than one child, only one computer, or you are working from home. Baking cakes can be considered math, science, or art. If you are home educating, you can include household chores within their education curriculum. And if you are home educating, you may start drinking at approximately 10 a.m. every day. If you are not home educating children, you may also start drinking at approximately 10 a.m. Masks are useless at protecting you against the virus, but you still need to wear one because it can save lives. And in some cases, it may even be mandatory, but also maybe not. You must not go to work, but you can get another job, at which point you may go to work. Stay home. I don't know how many more celebrities we need to have tell you how important it is to go outside and take care of your mental health. There is no shortage of groceries in the supermarket. There are simply many things missing. You don't need to go buy a bunch of toilet paper, but you should buy some in case you need it. If you are sick, you may go out once you are better, but those in your household, they cannot go out once you are better unless, of course, they need to go out. Animals are not affected by the virus, except for that cat that tested positive in Belgium in February, plus a couple tigers. The number of corona-related deaths will be announced daily, but we don't know how many people are infected because we are only testing those who are almost dead to determine if that's what they will die of. The people who die of corona who are not counted won't or will be counted, but maybe not. To help protect yourself during these times, you should be eating well and exercising, but exercising only eating what you have at home to avoid going to the stores unless you need toilet paper or a fence panel. It's important to get fresh air, but don't go to parks, but do go walk in other places. Just don't sit down unless you are old or pregnant. But if you do sit down, don't sit for too long, unless you are old and you are pregnant, in which case you need to sit down. But if you do sit down, don't eat unless you've had a long walk, which you are allowed to do if you are old or pregnant, except for times in which you aren't. And finally, no businesses will go down due to coronavirus, except those businesses that go down due to COVID-19. I hope this cleared up any questions about what we should and should not be doing during this time. Please educate your friends and family with this information so we can remove any and all confusion surrounding this time. Thank you.
I think that's about as brilliant a parody as I've ever encountered in my entire life. She nailed it. She nailed it. The situation is completely absurd. And by the way, just as in logic, it's elementary that you can prove any conclusion whatsoever from contradictory premises. When you have contradictory instructions, you can justify any action. Going out, not going out, staying at home, not staying at home, going to work, not going to work. I mean, it's the situation is a manifest absurdity. Meanwhile, the politics continues to display its ugly head. Nancy Pelosi declares war on the American people in her latest bogus rescue package. By their own standards, the House Democrats' Round 4 rescue package is a flop. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi set herself up to fail by instructing her caucus and surrogates to insist that Congress prioritize testing, testing, and more testing in future rounds of coronavirus response funding. At the end of the day, however, Democrats scrounge up a budget for those tests amounting to less than 1% of the $3 trillion package Pelosi introduced this week. Instead of putting their money where their mouth is, they slap together a leftist wish list dedicated to causes unrelated to the pandemic. It is a deeply unserious proposal that will never see the light of day in the United States Senate. That, of course, matters little to Pelosi, who knew exactly what was going into the bill before it was even written. That's why she didn't bother to call her caucus back to Washington until she was ready for them to rubber stamp an absurd 1,800-page bill most House members have never touched. Pension bailouts, unsustainable environmental mandates, fundamental changes to tax policy, these are all issues Congress has no business touching during a national emergency. Rather than let a crisis go to waste, however, Pelosi flung all her mind against the mud against the barn door and settled in to see what might stick. We don't have time for this. There's no greater danger to the American people than this complete lack of intellectual honesty masquerading as bold progressive policy making. Bob Pelosi ignored the millions of business owners, breadwinners, and gig workers struggling to make ends meet. Those people started their own honest, at times difficult conversation about how and when to reopen the economy. They stopped waiting on Washington to tell them what to do the moment that lockdown policies forced their communities into survival mode. They figured out in a hurry that to keep the economy afloat, they would need access to low interest loans, regulatory relief, liability protections, and easier access to testing. Old priorities the House expected no one to notice have been suddenly relegated to the back burner. The problem? People did notice. Both chambers of Congress are in for a tough negotiation over the next round of relief spending, but that's not the battle the left should be concerned about. Despite all evidence to the contrary, House Democrats have not declared war on Senate Republicans. With this preposterous piece of legislation, they have instead declared war on the American people. Meanwhile, the governors are grabbing business licenses to push lockdown violations. Democratic politicians intent upon perpetuating the Wuhan virus lockdown, even as more data shows the lockdown is pointless, have resorted to snatching business licenses when the owners refuse to allow their primary asset to wither away because of a useless edict. Revoking permits without due process is a powerful weapon that instantly destroys businesses because it makes the owners criminals if they continue to operate. In Michigan, power-mad Governor Gretchen Whitmer seized 77-year-old Carl Mankey's business license when he refused to start. He has announced he will keep cutting hair even without a license. A Michigan barber intends to continue defying the state's lockdown order in giving haircuts despite officials revoking his professional license. Likewise, in Colorado, Governor Jared Polis seized the license from a restaurant that had the temerity to open on Mother's Day, one of the big business days for restaurants across America. Keep in mind, as you think about governors depriving people of their livelihoods without due process, that there is nothing in the Constitution that authorizes this hurdle to earning a livelihood. While you'll be told that licenses exist to protect the consumer, that's rarely the case. The protection standard is relevant only when the consumer cannot understand whether someone is doing a good or, more importantly, a safe job. For example, consumers will be hard-pressed to know whether a structural engineer or a brain surgeon has the necessary skill for the work at hand. A license gives some assurance that the person has at least the required minimal skills to do the job. The same is true for specific permit processes. It makes sense to have a structural engineer check whether your contractor properly installed the supporting beam in your home, because you have no idea whether he did, and the consequences for doing it wrong can be drastic and deadly. Meanwhile, the Illinois Sheriff's Association on Friday responded to Governor J.B. Pritzker's threats to withhold federal funding from localities that refuse to adhere to a stay-at-home order, calling it outrageous that the governor is threatening retaliation, and adding that it is insulting to heroic police officers, corrections officers, and local voters, as indeed it is. Meanwhile, even The Hill has published absurd propaganda attacking Trump for making all the efforts he has made to defend the American people and to revive the economy and to oppose those, including the false and misleading medical authorities he's been saddled with at the World Health Organization, the CDC, and the National Institute of Health. In my opinion, he's doing a brilliant job. Here's a sensational breakdown, by the way, for an overview of how things stand. Why did the Democrats push everything is fine narrative early on example, Pelosi in Chinatown, so the virus would spread. Why did Science Board push no need to close China travel narrative early on? Because Fauci and Burks are owned by Gates and Big Pharma. Why did select governors push COVID-19 positive elderly patients into nursing homes most at risk when a surplus of was available at hospitals? Because Santino, Cuomo, and others wanted more deaths to justify the lockdown. Why are CDC numbers conflating COVID-19 death with those from influenza, pneumonia, and other sources? Because COVID-19 is not lethal enough, numbers too low to maintain the feardemic. Why are influenza deaths at an all-time historic low levels versus years past outside of a standard deviation? Because actual flu deaths are being changed to Chi-com virus deaths for political and financial reasons. Why are COVID-19 tests returning positive results on pawpaws, that's fruit, and animals? Because tests kits from China and the U.S. are pre-contaminated to give false positives. Why are select swing states undergoing heavy quarantine extensions? Because the shutdown is failing. Why are possible treatments, cures being prevented and attacked? Because Gates, Pharma, Fauci, vax agenda, and economic destruction is their real goal. Testing, 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 tracing, and isolation. Pelosi and the Democratic Party want to put the economy on a medically induced coma to defeat Trump, or so they hope. Well, I got news for them. It isn't working. Not only are Trump's popularity ratings, approval ratings at an all-time high, but a recent study of battleground states showed that Donald Trump was leading in 15 battleground states. They're going to be decisive in the next election. It's not panning out. It's backfiring massively on the Democrats, who want to extend the lockdown for months until our cities are nothing but a wasteland, until gangs begin looting, smashing stores, raiding homes, robbery, rapes, murders skyrocket. That's going to be the Democratic legacy to the United States of America. And don't think the American people aren't going to notice. You're welcome to call during the second hour. The number is 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will handle your call and get you on the air. We can discuss any and all of the above. You're most welcome to do so. Meanwhile, we have some harebrains in Hollywood going berserk. Cher, Trump, lazy, orange-faced miscreant who should be charged. Bette Midler blasts Trump for demanding an Obamagate probe, claiming he's mentally ill. Well, one of them is mentally ill, but that would not be the President of the United States.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host, and I can see we have a couple of callers already. Giuseppe from the District of Criminals, you're first, my friend. Speak up.
Hello, Professor. Outstanding first hour as a... As an introduction to your new show, which I'm looking forward, I went to listen to last week's, but it must have been technical difficulties, but definitely this Sunday will be great. Just one correction. I would suggest you consider you bring up the use of pig urine as something that's bad. Actually, in my training, the Master of Science in Oriental Medicine, urine has been an effective medicine for 6,000 years, and so have the major drug companies embraced it. For example, they use urea under a different name as a treatment for psoriasis and eczema, topical, and rehydrate skin. And they use uric acid in MS drugs because in small doses, too much uric acid gives you a gout or a kidney stone. But a little bit of uric acid is actually a powerful antioxidant. And then the foundational ingredient in most birth control is the urine of a pregnant horse, a mare, and that it has different kinds of hormones and cytokines and things in it that stimulate a human female to not ovulate. So there, what I would suggest you substitute is dead baby parts because my father, who's been gone a long time, actually had a heart transplant in 1988 and gave him an extra 11 years of life. And he, for the rest of his life, he was on immune suppressants because the body would attack that heart. It wasn't his. And the same thing goes on in vaccines, whereby if you have a little piece of a dead baby, your body sees that as an attack, and in no way does that medicinally beneficial. So that's my suggestion. Other than that, it was fantastic.
Oh, and those then are excellent. Secondly, yeah, go ahead. Those are excellent points, Giuseppe. I appreciate them. Go ahead.
You bet. And secondly, this is so discouraging. You know, we have a little tribe here of people who are wide awake, which is just so delightful in these Armageddon times. But I just report a little bit of news that just popped up while I was listening to the show. Most cities now, maybe Madison has a little hyper-local newsletter about local events called The Patch or something, or Next Door. And the Patch just popped up with the news event that they set up some free testing for COVID-19 here locally with tents and medical personnel, and they were overwhelmed and ran out, and there were like 1,000 people left not untested. And I'm like, how is it that, oh, well, I could go on and on. Just
no, finish your thoughts. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, how is it that they don't even take 5 minutes to understand that the swab in your nose can find anything, any kind of coronavirus? And even if they find things that are horrible, like a little piece of RNA from HIV, it doesn't mean you have AIDS or you're even HIV positive. We breathe in all kinds of stuff. Viruses are everywhere. And secondly, they're doing this serum logic test, which, as you've stated and others have stated in presentations, the serum logic test right on the box says this is not to be used for diagnosis. And then third, when they use the serum diagnosis, they lie. It's sophistry, because they claim that IgG antibody, which means you're immune, they claim it's like, oh, it means you're infected. And IgM, which in reality, scientific reality, means your body is successfully fighting the corona, if they lie and say it means you're sick. It's just it's so insane.
Right. I mean, the coronavirus is ubiquitous. Virtually all of us have one or another coronavirus. That was part of the importance of the research of the two Bakersfield physicians, as they discovered the coronavirus was far more widespread, anywhere from 80 to 100 times more, which meant that when you calculate the death rate, since a number of decedents remained relatively constant, the numerator, the denominator vastly expanded, so that the alleged death rate turned out to actually be 0.03% your chance of dying from coronavirus in California. So, of course, their brilliant study video was banned by YouTube. I mean, it's disgusting, Seppi.
Agreed.
I mean, this is a matter of life and death that affects the future of the nation. And you have recklessly banning informative, important videos that actually are explaining what the facts of the matter really are.
It's criminal. I mean, the whole thing with the there's like a hybrid going on right now, a hybrid of techno-fascism and techno-Bolshevism. And here's what I mean. The techno-fascism is the people like Bill Gates who are trying to create the biggest industry in the world. Do you know if they succeed in this satanic evil of mandatory vaccinations, they will go from a profitability annually of billions of dollars to becoming the most insanely powerful and insanely profitable business on the planet. They will go to being multi-trillion dollars in profit and dwarf every other business, dwarf Amazon, dwarf any company on Wall Street. It will just be insane. And that's the techno-fascist push. And then the techno-Bolshevik push, which are actually controlled by the same globalist parasites, the techno-Bolshevik push is to enslave people. You must stay in your house. You must wear a mask. You must do this. You cannot act against the state. And it's so weird. It's such an irony that this hybrid assault on our basic way of life, this evil assault on our rights, our freedom, bizarrely parallels what they did, they being the dark elements of scientific experimentation, in creating a chimeric hybrid virus that's combining mouse brain with human viral tissue, which would never occur in nature. And if it did, it would take 800, 1,000, 1,500 years if it ever even happened, because a lot of people never jump. And so it's just so bizarre. It brings to mind the phrase, as above, so below. So
yes. Before I bring in Paul, I want Mitchell to report the news item he just saw today about Neil Cavito, who's completely discredited himself. Mitchell, I can't take the guy seriously. I used to think he was a responsible journalist, but he's thrown it all away.
Well, there was an article talking about hydroxychloroquine, and the FDA data shows that there's a 62 cardiac deaths out of 50 million prescriptions. So you know, it's the same old lies that we got with, from the intelligence services.
And with that size of a population, how many cardiac deaths would there be by chance anyway?
Die from a heart attack, but it's just it's so rare. It's that unicorn again.
That unicorn.
And Mitchell, if I could interject, a lot of times when they say, "Oh, the patient died of a heart attack," it's because it was either misprescribed and the dose is too high, or the patient was like, "Oh, I'm feeling a little better. I'm taking one. I'm going to take five, and then it'll be gone." I mean, there's a lot of that occurs in medicine.
Well, let me bring in Paul. Paul, go ahead, join the conversation.
Yes, please hold for Paul for California. Hold on.
Go ahead, Paul. Oh.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Mighty Mouse will join the line. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
Maybe it shouldn't be Mighty Mouse, but Mighty Mouth.
You know, I'm just I'm sick of it. I'm gonna give up. You know what? When the shot comes out, I'm gonna take it, and I'm gonna take the booster. I'm gonna wear a mask. I'm gonna do anything that they say, just so that I can have the freedom that they give me. God didn't give me any freedom. The Constitution didn't give me any freedom. Declaration of Independence didn't give me any freedom. And you know what? My guns, they don't give me any freedom either. You know what? These people, they give me the freedom, and please, can I have it? Please, oh, please, oh, please.
That's right. After all, they know your body better than you do. They know what's good for you better than you do. I thought that first parody was wonderful. I may have liked the second even better, but I thought they were both simply sensational. Paul, I know you have further comments before I go to our next caller, so go ahead, toss a few more out.
Do I? I don't know. I mean, it's just like, what can we say? You know, we're all basically waiting around for something to happen, to be honest. I mean, you know, it's part of my life. You know, I look forward to this. This is like this is much a social group to me as anything else at this point. And as I said in the previous call, we're mostly just victim spectators. I don't know that many, if any, people, except maybe on this call, that have any guts or courage anymore. I seem to be the only one outside that, you know, goes on rants, okay, that acts like a son of a bitch when I need to. I've been asked to put on a mask to go in a store before. I said, I don't care about your store policy. Walk right in there and do what I do, you know. The other day I was in a grocery store, and I was waiting in line after I already walked past the girl at the front with the little hand cleaner offering to everybody. A girl comes up, another one comes up to me, a plastic bag full of masks. Sir, if you don't mind wearing a mask, it's our policy. I go, yeah, I do mind. I'm not wearing a mask. Go away.
And what did she say? She must have been stunned.
Well, the bottom line is, like, I for the first time now, it's been many years. I don't know how many years ago my dad called me an idiot, but I was called an idiot the other day for suggesting, you know, that this coronavirus is just a big damn hoax and you got nothing to fear. These my neighbors, I knew these people, you know. And I looked at the guy and I go, yeah, who's wearing a mask on a beautiful, May day? I mean, you know, just what can you do, right? I mean,
I have this wonderful blog by Dr. Blaylock detailing all the reasons why wearing a mask is very harmful for you and it's adverse to your health. These are stupid, self-defeating policies, which is why they're recommended by the CDC and the NIH and the World Health Organization. They want to do us damage. So what they're recommending is precisely the opposite of what the situation calls for on the basis of sound medical policies.
No.
May I interject
a second on
something?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, yeah.
I'd like to further agree with Paul saying we're all waiting for something to happen. And I think we need to embrace the Oli Domagard strategy, because I think what's going to happen, and I have grave concerns about it, is they're going to release something that is really deadly, and kill somewhere between 250,000 and a million people, and that will scare the average sheep so much that there'll be mile-long lines waiting for that vaccine. But if enough people bring that up, that this is going to be their next play, this is how evil they are, this is how much they treat you like a lab rat, maybe we can prevent it.
I'm going to take issue with that because, as I said before on a previous call, if they had something like that, they would already do it. I mean, if this whole thing is about depopulation, right, which is what they keep telling us, that's the bottom line. And I think they're doing that on purpose to put fear in us, okay? Because even the average person, okay, as dumb and stupid and weak as they are, the average person has an inkling, oh, yeah, no, Bill Gates, oh, yeah, depopulation. I can bring these things up. Jim, my response to what you told me is, yeah, I know. I have all this stuff contained in my head. But what I can't download to people is the contents of my brain or even 5 minutes of it because their attention span is generally not that long. And I can't download to them an ounce of defiance or courage because most people don't have it. I was talking to this guy just the other night, a guy that I know. I bumped into him. He's wearing a mask. And I used to know him because he worked at Safeway where I worked. And I said, hey, man, how come you're wearing that mask? You know, you're not at work now. He goes, well, I don't want to have any problem with the cops. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, the county now, they got the order. I said, look, they're not going to do nothing. Come on, take that mask off. And then he proceeded to tell me his story, how when he was younger, he'd get in trouble, went to jail a few times. He was a little bit of a mouthy kid. He got the elevator ride, if everybody knows what that means. And he says he wasn't, he basically, he's grateful for his life right now. You know, he's got a job, and he doesn't want to do anything to mess it up. So this is the state that they have people in. We've been gelded.
The American people are generally scientifically illiterate. They know even less about medicine than they do about physics, which is practically nothing at all. They're a very gullible and easily manipulated population, especially if they hear the same report from more than one source. They think if they hear ABC and CNN, then it must be true when they're both reporting from the same script book because they're so heavily infiltrated by the CIA and the Mossad. We do have another caller standing by. I'd like to bring him in. This is area code 512. Please give us your name, your first name only, and your state, and join the conversation. 512.
This is Janon in Texas.
Hey, wonderful, Janon. I'm delighted to have you here, my friend.
Okay, I'm enjoying the show very much. I really appreciated Giuseppe's comments earlier, and I really appreciate that he does not use the terms coronavirus and COVID-19 interchangeably. They are not synonymous. And so he adheres closely to that. And that is important. We are handicapped by the vocabulary that we are forced to use in discussing these things. And the same thing happened with in 911 research. I mean, we who were studying that event had to use the term "no planes" sometimes, but it's a term that outsiders don't really understand the meaning of. Just like right now, nobody really knows what the heck COVID-19 is, and they don't know anything about what tests are available. They don't know how in the heck a medical doctor can positively identify a person as COVID-19 positive. We just have zero information about that. And it's we have to just go on from where we are. And then one additional thing I'd like to say is that I'm going to speak for the state of Texas now, but I know it applies to other states. But you said something earlier, Dr. Fetzer, about this has nothing to do with tax policy or should not have anything to do with tax policy. But on a state level, this lockdown thing has caused state tax revenues for various different state taxes to go way down, such as the sales tax and such as the fuels, gasoline tax. The revenue is way down. And the states are hurting. And so what they have done is raise the property tax on your house 15% in Texas. And they are doing this in all the states that are putting this big tracker tracer thing in place. So I just want to say how it affects state level tax stuff.
And I can't believe that even Democrat governors are so stupid they wouldn't understand if you shut down the economy, you lose your tax revenue. And you have no resources for the state to take actions that the governor would like to support. I mean, this is moronic. I mean, it is colossal stupidity of a magnitude never heretofore been seen on this scale. It's stunning. I'm just delighted you're here. Stick around, Janine. I'd like you to stay. Paul, would you like to return to the fray?
You know, speaking about the businesses that may never come back. So yeah. near my house, there's a very large 24-hour fitness, and they've been closed since March, as you know. And just the other day, they put a pay rent or quit notice on the door from a law firm asking for $100,000+, otherwise to surrender the premise. So, you know, I couldn't help but think as I walked by this insanity that's being foisted upon us, that not only are people not allowed to go to a gym and socially interact and exercise and stimulate their immune system all at the same time, but now when this thing is over, if it's never going to be over, there may not be a gym to go back to because they will have destroyed that. So maybe, Jim, just maybe, it's not stupid or moronic. Maybe it's part of the plan, and they don't care. These Democratic so-called governors are being told what to do, and they're doing it, and they're traitors, and they're treasonous, and they need to go, like, as in a guillotine.
Well, I have no idea what all the little screeching and all that in the background is going on there, but if it's from your source, just mute until I call upon you, and we'll continue. Giuseppe, I want you to come back on in.
It's not me, Jim, just so you know.
Yeah.
Paul. Hello, this is Giuseppe. I think that Paul is exactly right, and I think that going back to the hybrid statement of the techno-Bolshevism, they're out to starve and destroy the middle class, the working class, to make us so dependent on the overlords that we can't do anything. And Paul jokingly laid out the scenario where he will submit, but hopefully he'll wake up and he won't.
Well, it's pretty fascinating that Trump isn't losing support. Actually, his support is at an all-time high, and as I mentioned already, he's leading in 15 battleground states. I mean, these are the states that are going to make the difference. He's leading Biden in all of them. Now, I do not believe for a second Joe Biden will actually emerge as a Democrat nominee, given that he's brain damaged. I mean, it's obvious to anyone, which I believe is why the Democratic spokeswoman said the other day they are not officially nominating Joe Biden as the president, a reason why they have to have their convention in Milwaukee, virtual or otherwise. Jeanon, welcome. Please, further thoughts from you, my friend.
I just want to say a little bit more about Bill Gates. I mean, there's a good video and the transcript of the video on churchmilitant.com today about Bill Gates. And it lays out very clearly all the murders that he committed in Russia, I mean, in India and in Africa, South Africa, I think, and I think also in the Philippines. And so that's good because it has the transcript today's video called The Vortex. And we just need to keep harping on Bill Gates. And I would suggest that no legitimate nonprofit entities accept large donations from anything connected with Bill Gates or George Soros. That's my comment.
That's excellent. That's excellent. That's excellent. The president of Madagascar, by the way, has suggested all African countries should withdraw from the World Health Organization. a member of parliament in Italy gave an impassioned speech that received wild applause, that Bill Gates should be referred to the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity. The Millennium Report has an absolutely sensational piece dissecting Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci's criminal activities. I mean, the word is definitely getting out. Paul.
Yeah, I believe that rats everywhere resent your, conflating Tony themselves.
Well, I'll tell you why that's very funny, Paul. My granddaughter has pet rats, and actually they're wonderful, fascinating creatures, highly intelligent, and she has a wonderful relationship. So you're right. To compare Fauci to rats is an insult to rats.
Right. I actually thought that many countries, not the least of which were Germany, did a great disservice to rats by, using that analogy for the type of people that are running the show in this world. Leave no doubt about it. And one of the other callers on the line knows it, too. Thank you.
Of course, most rats aren't pets, but are regarded as varmints. You know, when they're running wild in barns or homes and so forth, they can be a nuisance.
Thank you for that clarification, Doctor.
Giuseppe, come on back.
Yes, I'm really concerned at the onslaught in the mainstream media. Their latest thing now is, this child in New York City is exhibiting Hashimoto-like symptoms, and they show a little film clip of a kid with a bad rash reaction, but these liars, all those reactions come from vaccination, not from the COVID-19 SARS-2. It's all from vaccine reaction. If you look in any type of medical book, or if you, don't use Google, they're so corrupt, but use Bing and Google vaccine reaction and look under images, exactly the same symptom. That's what they're claiming now is COVID-19 SARS-2, it's just such a mind control. They're just beyond despicable.
Yeah, I agree completely. Of course, Janan made the impeccable point that coronavirus is a genus, of which COVID-19 is a species, just as primate is a genus, of which monkeys, mountain gorillas, and human beings are a species. So, you can be talking about wildly different varieties of coronavirus without distinction. To the best of my knowledge, Giuseppe can confirm this or not, there's no test that actually identifies specifically for COVID-19. True or false, Giuseppe?
That is exactly right. There is no test currently that can tell you specifically that you have COVID-19 SARS-2 as a viral infection. And what's even more interesting is there's 75 companies that are racing to be able to be the first to market. And you know how corrupt the FDA is. They just shut down one of Bill Gates' companies who was claiming leadership in this because it was so inaccurate and so wrong, to the tune of 50 to 70% false positives.
Well, yeah. Not only that, yes. Let me jump ahead, in a little bit here. So, okay, so Giuseppe just said, and what's even more interesting, but I'm going to change a little direction here. But what's even more important, though, when you sort of understand the kind of numbers you were tossing out earlier, Jim, the kind of numbers that you see all over the internet at various interviews with all kinds of people, including doctors, including researchers, including people that just think and look and start to calculate, right? You come to only one conclusion, okay, that the virus doesn't really matter. They might as well test people if they have chocolate ice cream particles in their blood, right? Because if the fatality rates are what you say, okay, and according to what you said and what I saw earlier, 0.2%, right? And that most people are asymptomatic, okay? And I even have to tell people because, a lot of people don't know what that means. I say, well, symptomatic means you have symptoms. Asymptomatic means you have none. So therefore, if you're asymptomatic, then can we make the leap of logic that the virus, if that's real, if it exists, if it's what they say, then it doesn't matter, okay? Because if it doesn't cause any symptoms, then what's the problem? And if the so-called fatality rate from those people that so-called test positive for it is 0.2% or 0.3%, well, that's nothing in and of itself, but it's completely irrelevant in terms of the general population who haven't been tested. Then what does it matter? It's a world of inversion. They're telling us to be afraid of something that we have no need to fear, and they're saying that we need a cure, a vaccine, of which we do have to fear. It's the world of inversion, just like a previous guest a while ago, Dan Cromer, used to talk about the inversion that we're living in. It's all freaking inversion, and I'm tired of it.
Paul, you're 100% correct. Brew is here now. Join the conversation, Brew.
Yes. I want to focus on Fauci for a minute. Now, Fauci's background, as you had Judy Mikovits on, basically stole the research for all the HIV research they did, her mentor did, and so on and so forth, and he made his career on that. And then we got the AIDS virus and in Africa and throughout the lands and these Western nations and the homosexuals and so on and so forth. So that's his whole signature, the HIV. He's built his whole career on that. Now, again, we'll call that his signature. Now, when we had Judy Mikovits on the line, I asked her, how long is this possible SARS-2 COVID-19 been in our population? And she suggested back as early as 2015, it's been in our population. So for the last 5 years, taking that from, if I recall it correctly, what she said, they've been laying the groundwork of infecting people with this SARS-2 for the last 5 years, just not in America, but Canada and Australia and elsewhere, and how they've been delivering this. You got to think, because a virus must be, for the best and at most accurate way, and how it's basically a virus gets around, is by injection. If not, it's by transfer of fluids, such as it did in the homosexual community and so on and so forth. So, again, this is the Fauci signature. So this means, by all intents and purposes, because this SARS-2 COVID-19, it's spectacular event about this. It's got this gain of function. They always say this gain of function, which is what? HIV. So it could break down in your organs easier, break down your immune system, and then, of course, deliver the virus, and then, of course, really attacks the respiratory system of the SARS part of it. So we have somebody, this is my analysis of this, this is my theory, okay, that Dr. Fauci designed this, and then he put it over to the Wuhan lab and gave him funding to produce it. That's about the best that I could put those two together. But they've been injecting us. They've been injecting the population with HIV for the last 5 years or more. On purpose. Imagine this. This is a mass freaking crime. I mean, amongst all the crimes that are being committed, this in itself is a massive crime that they've been infecting people with HIV. Now, let me take you back about a year and a half ago in California, made it no longer a crime to spread or infect anybody with the HIV or give them AIDS. Remember how outrageous that sounded? But doesn't that coincide now that, well, everybody has HIV now, so everybody's giving it to everybody based on these pretty much injections that they're giving you HIV. So if you just go have sex, let's say it's even with a male and female, there's still fluids being transferred, you know, there's blood and semen and so on. So you're just as easy as a heterosexual couple to give it to each other as it is a homosexual couple and so on. So doesn't that make a lot of sense now, what California did? Not just to be outrageous among all the other outrageous things they did.
California has been in the vanguard, Brew. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it is outrageous.
But,
and yeah,
but
Fauci,
you hear what I said.
Fauci is a fraud. He could be called Dr. Fraudshi just as well. And he's the tip of the spear in a program to basically murder tens of millions, even billions of people. I mean, that's the agenda. I have no doubt.
He's an element to the formula. He had his role to play. He is the designer of this virus. The Chinese may have manufactured it and so on, because a lot of the pharmaceuticals and the vaccines and who knows what else being produced there and in Israel, a lot of the pharmaceutical companies moved to Israel and they're doing their testing and production in secret, in privacy, where no one else can get to them. So
I mentioned the Millennium Report. Let me give you just a headline here. Fauci Gate, Operation COVID-19 point man Tony Fauci must be arrested and prosecuted for genocide. That's right. It was all planned, perhaps even decades in advance. It could only have been coordinated by a top NIH corrupto cat crap strategically positioned at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. As a matter of historical fact, the New World Order globalists have been waging a bio war against humanity since the 1918 Spanish flu. Incessant bio warfare has been conducted by the Zio-Anglo-American Axis against any nation that dares to leave the New World Order reservation. Many of the annual flu seasons since 1900 and before have been triggered by covert acts of bioterrorism where the culprits are never caught until now. I think you're right in your basic thesis, Brew, that this is really an act of bioterrorism.
Well, this is, look, this is called now, I've named it personally, the crony virus. Because guess who's all benefiting from this? All the cronies, all your oligarchs, all your bankers, all your pharmaceutical companies, all your national leaders and politicians and NGOs, the World Health Organization, look at all the players that are benefiting. Look at Jeff Bezos, his wealth going up in mass numbers. Look at any one of them. Look at Walmart and all the, and Home Depot. All the essential businesses where these people already got mega bucks to begin with, but they're benefiting from this. But meanwhile, the little guy, the guy that's, you know, scraped and saved and, you know, put a few workers to work, whether it be a gym or a hot dog stand or, you know, whatever it may be, they're the ones suffering and they're the ones going to lose everything, all their investment, all their insurance, all everything. And then they're going to go to court over bankruptcy and all this other stuff. They're being exhausted of their funds. The longer they push this out, the more people lose out, just like they did over in 2006, 2007, 2008 with the Great Recession, how they made everybody lose their homes and their jobs and so on. They squeezed everybody. And then we have a result of that? Massive homeless population. Right. A whole nother generation of disgruntled children who turned to the Bolshevik manner because capitalism is what did that to them, not the cronies. Capitalism.
I think that was a wonderful rant. I think I agree with every word you just said. Jinan, I can tell you are eager to add a few words here. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to ask Giuseppe a question, and then I want to mention something about George W. Bush.
Sure.
And okay, and then about blood HIV contamination.
Sure.
I want to ask Giuseppe, this thing they're doing now, this track and trace, it's supposedly based on some kind of antibody test in a person's blood, I guess, or serum. And I just want to know, will the results of that test show that it's a COVID-19 antibody, or will it just show that there's coronavirus antibody, or will it not show either?
I believe it will not show either. I mean, if it has any chance of showing anything, it will be just the corona category. They do not have the sophistication to identify the COVID, the crony 19 SARS-2.
Okay, good. Okay, and the second thing I wanted to mention is that George W. Bush in the early 2000s was pushing something called the HPV, human papillomavirus vaccine. And there was quite a controversy at the time because many people who took that vaccine were sort of coerced into doing so, and that some of them died, and that many of them had bad side effects. So
yeah.
the virus scams started back then under a Republican president. But anyway, and the last thing I wanted to mention was back under Clinton, Slick Willie Clinton's administration, there was a big scandal about Factor VIII in blood that is, you take the factor VIII out of blood, healthy blood, and you give it to hemophiliacs so they won't bleed so much, and it works. And I know about that. And many of the people, they got the blood samples from which they got that factor VIII from prisoners who had HIV. And so the blood was contaminated, and many hemophiliacs got HIV and died, okay? That was a big scandal under the Clinton.
Let me follow up with that by asking Giuseppe about the relationship between HIV and AIDS. I thought Judy Mekovits was explaining that there was actually a difference and the one was not necessarily causative of the other. Is that right, Giuseppe, or do I have it wrong?
No, you have it right. The human immune virus, HIV, is just like a virus, just like Corona 19, SARS-2 is a virus. It's just, it exists. Acquired immune deficiency syndrome is your body's insane inflammatory reaction to the HIV virus and to other things. But it's so you can live your whole life and have HIV infection, which according to Judy, most of us now have. And we have many other things in us too that the liars would want you to think, well, we're all going to die tomorrow, but no, we won't. And then her breakthrough treatment that she wrote her PhD thesis, which ultimately saved Magic Johnson's life, is the mass murderer, Tony the Rat, Fauci was advocating, you've got to use AZT, the chemotherapy drug. He literally caused the murder of 2 to 5 million AIDS patients, people who had acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Whereas Judy said, no, that's not how the body works at all, and wrote her PhD thesis stating that you need to treat the body and boost the immune function with antivirals and heavy doses of nutrients and other interferon A, which was then known as a cancer drug, all this cocktail, which what would do is essentially boost and maintain the patient's immune function such that the HIV never grows and becomes that deadly AIDS disease. You essentially make it dormant for as long as you live.
Very, very good.
But hang on a minute there. So Giuseppe, have you heard of or have you read the book AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire by Nancy Turner Banks?
No, I know it exists. I've never read it.
Okay, you have to read it. So I first discovered this from Sophia Smallstorm. I know that she mentioned this book on the air, Jim. I'm sure that you haven't read it too. But I think that things are more in line with what Peter Duesberg was contending, and that the so-called virus doesn't matter. And I believe, Brew, was it you that sent me the link to what really causes disease or what really makes us ill and why what's everything you've been taught about disease doesn't matter?
I forwarded that from Giuseppe yesterday.
Okay, listen. Paul, I want to continue, but we have another caller I want to introduce into the conversation. Bill Grant, join the conversation, Bill.
Yeah, hey, guys, a little late. I kind of avoided it, but had to jump in. But first of all, I keep You're meaning to late. Call it the coronavirus and stuff like that. I have a lot of words for it written down same way. I actually sort of did bring up the AIDS issue the same as Brew a while ago. I should have mentioned that since I never have, so it was a good call. Don't forget, riot gear is being bought up like crazy by the police, okay? We can't forget the guillotines. I want to point out uric acid. That was a good call, Giuseppe. I believe that's an anti-venom as well. Uric acid, not too much, exactly like you described. Too much is bad. A little bit is great. But I want to point out something. You know, when Trump was on the podium and explained, no, not for everybody, just for those who want it, that kind of issue. Now, remember, it didn't end there. It did not end there. It continued. He said, isn't that correct? So he's asking if he's correct. And the next guy he brought on in charge basically essentially corrected him, and Trump did not recorrect. Hopefully I'm not repeating myself from the last show. But the point is, what he said is kind of a yes and no. It's like, in other words, if their goal is to only make as many vaccinations as is expected to be wanted, then they should only be making 50% of all the vaccinations, or maybe way, way less. But yet their plan, their definite stated plan, is to have a vaccine for all Americans. Still, despite the fact that they know most people don't want it, they're going to make vaccinations for every person anyway.
Bill, yeah. I think this is extremely important. I'm very pleased you're following it up. I mentioned before, I believe, the Nuremberg principle that no one is allowed to experiment on another human being without their informed consent, and that experimenting on human beings as guinea pigs is a violation of international law. So I think there's going to be a big deal here over this question if they begin to impose mandatory vaccination, not to mention, as Mike Adams observed, those who come to vaccinate us, they better be prepared to take live fire, because many of us are not going to stand for it regardless. Why would we allow someone to come and kill us with a needle? It's rather go down fighting for your freedom and for your health.
I don't see it, to be honest with you. Just a real quick on my personal opinion about this, and this, to be honest, could be a fodder for a show with people that could weigh in on this, but I think that there's a lot of psychological operations going on here, a lot of fear propaganda, fear porn, as they call it. I think that they know that coming somewhere to a house or a home or apartment to try to force somebody to take a shot, I think they know that's a non-starter for the most part. They don't have enough personnel to do that, in my opinion. And I believe that if they're going to come to try to do that, they might as well just come and try to shoot you. You know,
right.
It's pretty much the same thing to a lot of people.
Because you come to try to do it, they're the ones who are going to get shot, I'm telling you. I don't think Americans are going to put up with this.
I think it's more about soaking up a lot of money, including taxpayer or treasury money to these vaccine companies, you know, to make certain amounts of these vaccines and to give it to all the compliant sheep and the suckers that are willing to take it. But I really don't think their goal is to vaccinate everybody. I really do believe that's part of their little fear operation.
Bottom line is, we can't allow this. We can't allow this to continue. All right, we got track, trace, test. Okay, test. Everyone needs to be tested. We've got a dragnet. Okay, everybody. We've got to track and trace everybody and test everybody. Oh, we got to have more tests. We need more testing. Why? There is no accurate test. I don't care which one they put out, rapid Abbott Labs test or whatever they want to call it, because it's all got to, you notice all the names, it's speed, Operation Warp Speed, rapid, fast, more. We did it better. We did it faster. Look, this is all about keeping you off balance. You got to keep your opponent off balance. You can't let them get their footing. You can't let them realize what happened until after it's done. That's what this is about. Look, testing. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We call it DNA harvesting for one, but what is the other element to it? They want to get that protein. They want to make sure they have everybody's protein on file. Everybody, we all have a unique protein in our blood, so they need to go around. They've been taking our protein and giving to the world and filing it in the World Health Organization since the 1970s. We all have, at birth, they've been doing this. So they have this stuff on file, but they want to get it again. They want to see what our status is today. 6 months, a year before they start shooting everybody up with their toxin. So they're going to have that as a test measure to see what the results is of their toxin going into your system, see if it affected you, to see how much you've changed, and so on and so forth. Look, this vaccination, they've been talking a lot about this company, Moderna. They used to be called Mode RNA. Their big technological breakthroughs are going to give you an RNA vaccination, which is technically in itself going to change your RNA and affect your DNA. They're trying to change you internally so you are no longer a humanoid, a human being. You are now going to go into that transhumanism type of state for what they're doing, because they're injecting you with technology, nanobots. And we hear a lot about these nanobot companies. Even a nanobot company had a testing kit going on. Or they went to a testing company for the testing. Now, look, they have no accurate test for coronavirus or COVID-19, and they wouldn't be able to develop one within 2 or 3 months ever, period.
Right.
So this is a lot that's going on. Now, look, when they're talking about these vaccinations, they're not just talking, okay, one shot, you're done, go away. No, they're talking about a series of shots off the bat. So you.
Brew, you've been on a real roll. I want Giuseppe to come in and talk about.
This is important, Jim. Just 1 second, Giuseppe, please. They're going to give you one shot, then you got to go for a series of shots. So you're going to get a second shot. They're talking maybe, this is what they're floating, up to 4 shots you might have to get. And then they've even floated, you might have to get those every year. Okay, so this is the danger of when. We gotta shut this down. We never shut anything down.
Brew, I just want to get Giuseppe in to say
when are we gonna stop him?
Thing makes medical sense or not, okay? I've got my own question. You're laying out a massive fear porn agenda here. I'm not saying you're wrong, and they're not promoting it in various venues. I want to know if it has any medical viability, Giuseppe.
Everything I just said is from their mouths.
I'm asking Giuseppe. Go ahead, Giuseppe.
Brew is saying is accurate. I've read the same article. What's so interesting is, Professor, you're a PhD level logic master, and this is just another basic fallacy that they do. They claim they're improving your immunity, yet they can't sustain it. And they're talking about 4 shots a year, which means they're only really destroying your immunity. And the Moderna RNA virus is just satanically evil.
Good. I'm glad you and Brew converge here. That's very good. We had a question from the chat room I just want to address this. Why VT is promoting vaccine so aggressively? I haven't been with VT since 2014. I was sacked by Gordon Duff, the senior editor, because I was writing about Jade Helm 15. He didn't want me to write about it. I wrote about it anyway. I'll just report a conversation I had with him and his wife when I stayed with him at one point overnight, returning from a conference up in Vancouver, where we were talking about vaccines, and I was talking down Gardasil, which is this extremely expensive antidote to a rather unusual form of cancer induced by promiscuous sexuality. And I was saying that it had so many adverse side effects, it was a bad thing. To my astonishment, he and his wife were both touting them. I am therefore drawn to the inference that they have some financial stake in vaccines, and that Veterans Today, I guarantee you, is not an authoritative source on vaccinations. You have to approach that journal with a certain amount of discernment. I'm convinced that it's in fact a psyop to moderate the attitudes of veterans, to make sure they don't get worked up about an issue where their involvement might make a difference. And that Gordon Duff, who had told me numerous occasions of his history with the CIA, continues to work for the agency and is the moderator in chief. That's the best I can do for it. I think Brew and Giuseppe have brought up an extraordinarily important issue, because this idea of having an agenda of 4 vaccines a year is absurd beyond belief. It's as corrupt and immoral as any action I can possibly imagine. And there must be legal measures taken to stop it in its track. Jinan, would you like to contribute?
Yes, I'd like to get back on the Wuhanic plague subject. There was a person named Alan Dershowitz, our big legal expert scholar. Yeah. And yeah. He was on the Jason Goodman Crowdsource the Truth show very recently. And I transcribed a little bit of what Mr. Dershowitz said. And here it goes. You have no right to endanger the public and spread the disease, even if you disagree, and even if you refuse to be vaccinated. The state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm if the vaccination is designed to prevent the spreading of the disease. You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right.
Alan Dershowitz can go to hell. He can rot in hell. That's the most disgusting, unconstitutional, un-American statement he could possibly make. I saw that and I was revulsed. This man is repulsive. He's despicable. This is the worst possible thing Alan Dershowitz could do if he wanted to totally discredit himself and throw away any semblance of of respectability, he has done it 100%. I damn him to hell.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and he contaminated the Jason Goodman show forever, and even the regular guests of Jason Goodman, because, you know, he just told, you know, he's our big legal expert, and he told us what democracy is all about, and you have to be vaccinated, you know. So
I've had a reasonably high regard for Alan Dershowitz with certain reservations, but this has gone far, far over the top, over the edge. Paul, a brief comment. We're nearly to the end. I want everyone to get a final word. Paul, you first.
Okay, good. Just give me 30 seconds. First of all, I will thank you never to talk about your regard for Alan Dershowitz again. Thank you very much. My final word here will take about 12 seconds. This is for Brew. Brew, this is for you.
Very good, Paul. Now, that was for Brew. Brew now has his final piece. Brew, a few words.
That's right. I'm a gunslinger. I come in with a precision 12-gauge shotgun, and I shoot it up precisely. Let me tell you. Look, when you mention Alan Dershowitz, you got to think he's Israeli. He's Israeli first. Him and his kind have done nothing but try and manipulate the United States Constitution and everything to their will and twist and turn to occupy this nation. Let me introduce also, he used to hang out with Jeffrey Epstein. I want to introduce this into evidence that I believe a lot of what they're doing now with all their new vaccinations and all their other stuff, it has to do with the research that was going on with Epstein. Everything he was doing with all these big mines and all the stuff of New Mexico and his ranch, I think the research he was conducting has to do with this huge, big rollout of vaccinations, the RNA, and changing our human structure. I believe this is something that's not being mentioned, and it needs to. I believe it falls into place here. Take care.
You've been on a real roll here tonight, Brew. Really excellent stuff. Bill Grant, briefly, your final thoughts.
Yeah, hey, guys. First of all, we do have to stop all this now. I believe we have to stop the second wave and the willed acceptance of the vaccinations. They're going to use those vaccinated people as people they're going to get sick and claim it's the virus from those people. But to end what I was talking about earlier, that same guy at the podium correcting Trump added, as an addition, and yes, we have all the tools and legal tools to force when needed, if needed, on the people. And as far as the testing plan goes, remember, part of their plan, their War Powers Acts, does include the cutting off of communications. If you don't take that test, they're going to legally, according to their beliefs, cut your internet service until you comply.
I think we're going to have a civil war if they're going down that path. Giuseppe, you get the final word tonight. Giuseppe.
There's never been a vaccine that is safe. There has never been a vaccine that is effective. It's a trillion-dollar lie of an industry. And Judy Mikovits, I caught her on a live Q&A yesterday. They've got new data. She was saying before, if you're 56% more likely to get the COVID-19 SARS-2 with a flu vaccine. She upped it to 300% more likely with new data.
You guys, wonderful.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange.